I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Johannes Gibbsrud's first novel, The Sentimentalist, won the 2010 Giller Prize. She became the youngest winner in the prize's history and has gone on to great acclaim. The book is about a daughter who, after her own drama, decides to live with her estranged father in a fictional Ontario town called Casablanca. There, she draws out her father, hoping to understand him better and the horrors he witnessed in Vietnam. It's a challenging read in that you think about family, fathers, daughters, war, and memory. When the book was nominated for the Giller, very few copies of the book could be found, as its original publisher, Gaspro Press, had only printed something like less than 1,000 copies. I think they're the only press in the country that prints and publishes their own books. The whole confluence of the current realities of the book trade came together with the critical success of this book. We saw how the small press is coping in the shadow of the big chains. Right after the book won the prize, The Sentimentalist was a big hit electronically. And then Douglas and McIntyre here in Vancouver entered the scene when it was licensed, the book's trade paperback rights, thereby ensuring less than 10 days after the Giller Prize win, the book could be had in the tens of thousands. Johannes Gibbsrud joins me now from here in Vancouver to tell us more about this book, what winning the Giller was like, and more. The original book can be had through Gaspro's website at gaspro.com, and the trade paperback from Douglas and McIntyre can be had at sundry bookstores across the land. Please welcome to the Plant on Land program, Johannes Gibbsrud. Good morning, Ms. Gibbsrud.
Morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, this is an interesting book because of, as I just mentioned, of what happened because of the prize and because people have now bought the book because of the prize. Are you hearing from readers now who've read the book?
Yes, and it's been really wonderful. Since the end of March, I was away over the winter, and coming back and now starting a tour organized by Douglas and McIntyre, just meeting readers who have read the book, and it's just a wonderful experience to meet them and hear the very different reactions from readers.
So you were away right after the prize till recently?
Until recently.
So you've been isolated from everyone talking about the book and the sort, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I definitely have kept in touch, but in terms of touring or actually sort of being engaged in that way, it's really just beginning for me.
We hear a lot about this so-called Giller effect. When it comes to book sales and the sort. Now, you're in the middle of this. What's that like?
Well, it's pretty remarkable. I just feel so grateful for the opportunity that the Giller has afforded me. Just the exposure is just phenomenal, and I think especially this year because of the debates that went on right after the Giller win, and so I feel really lucky for that exposure.
Has it changed you as a writer, this attention?
I don't think so. I think it's very early to tell, but I really feel that always my motivation for my writing has come from inside me, and that's going to continue. And it's wonderful. I've always hoped to have a readership. I never dreamed of having the readership of the size that's now potentially available to me. And so I think that's a really wonderful opportunity. But I don't think that it's changed me fundamentally as a writer.
So when people talk to you about the book, what do you find that they're talking about?
It really depends, and I think that's been the really lovely thing about it, is that everybody seems to be responding to different aspects of it. I got a lot of people who really respond to the generational, the relationship between the father and the daughter, and the father, the Henry, the other main character in the book, who is an older man who who tells his story of the original town that he lived in Casablanca, Ontario, which you mentioned. And so just that the relationships between the generations and relationships of passing on memories, basically, and a lot of people, that really resonates with them. Other people really respond to the voice of the narrator, and that means a lot to me. And just people have reacted and commented on the poetic quality of her voice and her explorations. Also, of course, there's the revelations of the father's experience in Vietnam that really resonates with a lot of people, and particularly my inclusion of a transcript in the back, which is the transcript of my own father's testimony that he gave during the criminal investigation into the events that that experience is based on in the book. So the Vietnam sections of the story are based on stories that my own father told me. So I think that a lot of people are really interested in just that intersection and why I chose to intersect this real document with the fictional story that I've created.
And do you think going to fiction, taking whatever your father told you
mm-hmm.
about his experiences, and writing about it in this book, do you think it helped you, going to fiction, did that
yeah.
help you understand your father better?
I think so. I was just talking to someone who said that, you know, in a debate between herself, a fiction writer, and nonfiction writers, she announced, well, I write fiction because I can tell the truth. And that really resonates
yeah.
with me, I think, just that I think that there's so much space in fiction to explore different nuances of our experiences, and you know, and especially when you're dealing with stories and experiences that you inherit or you absorb that aren't your own. I think that there's almost a really important freedom for me anyway of fiction to really to give that space and to explore it in a way that I wouldn't be able to do myself if I was attempting to nail it down to the truth that doesn't come to naturally to me to try and assert one reading on the information that I absorb. For me, it just comes most naturally to bring that together, to intersect it with other stories, to try and to understand it in relation to other stories.
So we see your father in Napoleon, the narrator in the book. How much of that is you?
I think that, I would probably argue that that the voice, or especially a narrative voice, would always reflect the author, and I think that that's very much the case in terms of the narrator in this book. She's not me. She's very definitely not me, but she's definitely reflects myself, and especially where she intersects with the father character, Napoleon, there's definitely resonances there with my own experience, because one thing that is I think that I have taken, or I hope that I have taken from life in this novel, is a real inspiration from my father for the father character, that I do believe that he captures some of my father's spirit. So naturally, when the narrator's voice intersects with her father's, that is where it most particularly probably resonates with my own voice.
You're against smoking, obviously.
I don't like smoking in cars, that's true.
Yeah. Do you understand yourself better after writing this book, like going through what the narrator went through?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, the experiences that the narrator has in that book are not my own. The events in the novel have nothing to do with my own life or happenings in my own life, except for very, very roughly And so, but I think that just, like I say, because there is resonances within the voice, and, you know, and I do hope that a lot of, you know, my father, what I understood of him, is captured in the book, that I've obviously, you know, come to some understanding that I didn't have when I started the book. But a lot of time has passed too, and so there's that as well. And I think that in keeping with that, you know, such a lot of the learning has been just in terms of my own writing and the process and the editing process, and so I think I've grown from that as well.
When you were shortlisted for the Giller, when you found out, I guess you found out first being on the long list, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Well, it was just a tremendous surprise. The book had been published in the fall of 2009, and it was my first novel. I had been working on it for quite some time. I was really happy to have it published, but I wasn't particularly surprised or disappointed. I mean, I think that all writers, especially first novelists, prepare themselves for this, for it just to basically drop under the radar, and that's what happened. So I didn't know that I was under consideration for the Giller Prize, and so it was just an absolute surprise to find out that I was on the long list.
And then the moment that they announce that you're the winner,
mm-hmm.
Do you still remember that? Did you hear that?
yeah, well, actually, I don't think that I did hear it, because later, watching it with my mother later and the taped version, I did, when I heard my name, I thought, oh, you know, I don't think I'd heard it the first time. I was just in an absolute state of shock, and it really was just from the reactions of people around me, particularly my sister, who was just this wonderful shock. She actually asked me before they announced it, if you win, can I faint? And I said, sure, you know, like, not thinking that was very likely, but we all very nearly fainted. It was quite the moment.
I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think Seamus O'Regan said that mm-hmm. after you won that yours was going to be the most sought-after book in the country, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people bought it on e-devices and the sort.
Right.
What do you make of that phenomena? I mean, as a writer, I mean, it's good that you're being read. Mm-hmm. Do you read on an e-device yourself?
Actually, I just got my first e-reader, and I'm quite happy with it. And I just think, what you said of, you know, writers want to be read, and for me, that's a fabulous way. I mean, it's not going to be the only way, and it shouldn't be the only way. I could never give up my books, and I don't think many of us could, so that's not a real worry for me. I think that it's just, it's really wonderful that people have even more options of how to read and how to make information available, and that's exciting to me. I think there's a lot of possibilities. I think also, like, especially in terms of the controversies and debates that came out after the Giller, and that it really points out, I mean, immediately afterwards, and Gaspereau was doing what they do, which is make quality publications, printing, and publishing these beautiful handcrafted books. They were continuing to do that at a rate that couldn't be altered if they didn't want to, you know, compromise what they do best. But immediately the book was available as an e-book. So I think that really points out, you know, that there's different reasons and different advantages to all sorts of formats, and there's a real wonderful appreciation and need for what Gaspereau does, but then there's also, of course, a need for the information to be more widely available, the literature to be more widely available as well sometimes, and so I was really happy, and I'm now very happy that the book's available in all of those formats still.
Do you get a sense that the audience is different?
I don't really know. I mean, I have been told by a number of people who, you know, real appreciators of, you know, of a fine printed books, who have read my book as an e-book, you know, for various reasons, whether or not because it wasn't available immediately and they wanted to get at it right away, or just because of, you know, commutes that they have been reading on e-readers now, or, you know, for various reasons. You know, somebody made a point which I thought was really interesting, too, about younger generations and how, you know, just how accustomed, really, to the technology younger generations are, and that this really gives an opportunity for, you know, if books are available and easily downloadable and shareable, that, you know, that perhaps that's a really good way of, you know, of getting and promoting and transmitting literature among younger generations. And so perhaps that's something that's true, and it is a younger readership that's reading e-books.
And we've seen through just after the prize that the small press, Gaspro, I mean, it's alive and well in this country, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And I think that, I mean, that sort of this, all highlighted that as well. And even I think some of the, you know, negative attention that Gaspro was getting around that time really highlighted what they do so well, you know, that it's just like, no, we're not going to be able to push out more than 1,000 copies a week, because that's not what we do. But what do we do? And that's something very different and very worthwhile. And I think that that was brought to everyone's attention around that time. And I think that that's really a you know, a positive thing in the long run, too.
And the deal with Douglas and McIntyre, how involved were you with that?
I wasn't at all involved in that deal, and but I was. I mean, just after the Giller, I was assured, okay, you know, like we're on it, and we're going to work out something, and everyone's going to get a copy of the book, and so I definitely trusted in that. And then, you know, in retrospect, it's just kind of it's thoroughly amazing how quickly it all happened. And then once Douglas and McIntyre got the deal, how quickly they got that book out into the market and available. And it's just been wonderful to be visiting for the first time. It's my first time out to the West Coast, and meeting the people at Douglas and McIntyre, just wonderful. And just, you know, sharing in the story from their end of things, too. And it's just, it's a wonderful story, and I feel really, really happy and, of course, very lucky to be part of it.
You know, you mentioned earlier, we were talking about books, and you mentioned that you were away for a while. So you were, I guess, in Paris, is that right?
Yeah.
And so home for you is in Montreal, is that correct?
Yep. I'm at the University of Montreal, and so that was why I was in Paris, is that they have an association with the University of Paris. So I was studying there for the winter.
So I'm wondering how many books you own.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how, like, they're all in Montreal, are they? Did you have to bring some over?
No, well, I did. I brought far too many over. But yeah, I don't know if I can even estimate. I own an awful lot of books, and that's, I've just been thinking about that because I have to move again, and, but, I have a hard time getting rid of books, and I collect them very quickly, so.
I guess you wish that your father was alive to see the success of the book, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think about him a lot, and I just know, you know, how excited and how proud he would be, but, yeah.
But he did get to read it, right?
He did read an early version of it, the version that served as my MA dissertation.
Yeah.
He did read.
How much did that change from the dissertation to what we have now in front of us here?
Hugely. I completed the dissertation in 2005, and then basically I didn't touch it again until 2007, just because I was out of school and I was working again. I just didn't have the time that I thought that I needed to really give it a thorough look, and overhaul that it needed. And so I was able to do that in 2007 when I received a grant from the Canada Council. So I went back to it and really did. I cut, you know, maybe a third of it and rearranged it. And there's a few more different elements that come into the book at that point that weren't in the original manuscript.
Do you write longhand or do you write on a computer?
Always computer, yeah. I can't write longhand anymore.
Yeah, and you're a poet. Do you commit poetry on the computer as well?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah. There's a line in the book, and I'll end on this, Johanna. Women think that they can make sad things go away by knowing the reason that they happened.
Hmm.
You're a woman. Mm-hmm. Do you think Napoleon's right when he says that in the book?
No, I don't think that he's right. I mean, it's a very general statement. But I think that that's a human impulse, I think that you know that there is an accusation that's aimed at the narrator that isn't necessarily a negative accusation at that time, or that I hope that sort of comes through as not thoroughly negative, that there is an exploration going on in the book, and that is a human impulse to try and understand the stories that shape our lives, and so yes, it's complicated and it doesn't make the sad things go away, but that it is a necessary a really important impulse.
Johanna, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Good luck with the rest of the tour and the visit here.
Thank you so much.
The book is called The Sentimentalist. It's available in trade paperback from Douglas & McIntyre. The original version is available from Gaspro Press. Its author, Giller winner Johanna Skibsrud, on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.